This morning is our first week of 3 weeks of Our Story, Our Future. And so I'm going to speak into Our Story, Our Future this morning, which is all about our building program. And for those of you who are relatively new to our church, or for any of us really, if you could please just grab your orange card. Claire's done a fabulous job of putting these together for us. And both Fremantle and Wellard, we have a campus in Wellard, which is we are owning. So we have two locations. We own this whole facility, including the childcare, and it's 2,200 square metres plus everything that we've, the businesses as well, and another about 500 square metres down at Wellard facility, which Stephen and Anami are between both locations actually, but down there today. And Stephen and Anami are our campus pastors for Wellard, and Stephen's also our executive pastor, and I'll show you some pictures that he's put together for this year's Our Story, Our Future, some graphs actually. So that's to come. So who's glad that we have a facility that we don't have to move around all the time? We've got a home. And I think that's something that's really important as a church. And so on the 21st of March, say it with me, 21st of March. So good. So 21st of March, we'll be taking an offering. We're going to have, like we do for Leap into Spring. So we'll have a basket on at the front here, and we'll bring our cards and trust God for the next 12 months, a faith promise. Say faith promise with me. Because that's really what it is. It's saying, I promise, after speaking to the Lord, that I am going to give, or speaking to my spouse, or spoken with my family, that I believe that God wants us to be involved in this project. Is there a greater project than building the house of God? And so that's that. And now, if you just, Helen asked me, if you can't be here on the 21st, or you'd just like to fill this in the next couple of weeks before we do it on the 21st, please feel free to do that and just pop it into the offering or give it in at the bookshop, and we'll make sure that's taken care of for you. And your details don't get shared around. They're private. It only goes to our accounts lady. And so you don't need to worry about that. All right. So let me go to some graphs that, as I said, Stephen's put together. The year 2020, this is what we were able to achieve, really. So if we can go to those, that'd be fantastic. We're getting there. Let's give Conrad a hand. We can see them coming. Thanks, Conrad. Do you want me to start preaching and we'll get back to them? Might be easier. Are they there, Dave? Okay, the computer's frozen. Let's go on. Those things happen. Maybe I can share a little bit, just, and if we get it going, we get it going. We had a genuine 33 salvations last year at Fremantle. That's worth celebrating, right? We're not talking about just recommitments, but people that actually said, no, I want to give my heart to the Lord. That's part of why we exist. That's what. Oh, here we go. Yes, Steve does he's very fancy. All right, so this is just to explain. See that 55,000 in the grey there? Can you see? Oh, it's easy on there. Okay, so I've got it here too. So we started Our Story, Our Future last year, and then guess what happened? COVID hit. So we actually never finished our whole program. We only did 1 week, those of you who are faithful and have been with our church, you, and I think Lisa called some of you and said, oh, are we going to continue? And so we had pledges, or look, Stephen likes to call them pledges. I prefer to call them faith promises. But we 55,000 worth of promises last year in the middle of a pandemic. And we've so far received 45,000, and we've spent on various building activities 31,000. So we're doing okay in that respect. So, and then our loan to, I call it LVR, loan variation ratio. Those of you who've got a mortgage, you understand what this means. If you don't, it just means this is how much we owe and this is how much we own. And so we have about 5 point, we've just, Stephen and I had a bit of a think tank about this. We believe that, in fact, we had a valuation for Wellad. It was around $550,000. And here, about $4.7 million, which makes a total of $5.25 million. Not bad. Not bad. And so of that, we have a loan balance. Now, Stephen's worked this out with Lisa, of $2.274 million. So that means we actually own more than we owe. We own 57%, including through COVID. We actually have reserves in our account because we put them into reserves. And so there's about $70,000 we're in front on our mortgage at the moment. So how cool is that? So not a bad effort. And thanks, Stephen, for being a good executive pastor and making things run smoothly. And so that's great. And then there's another one. This is what we want to do in 2021. Stephen loves his little arrows, doesn't he? And so we would like to get, more faith promises this year. And we would love to continue to pay down our mortgage and own more. Would you like to do that? I know it's not very exciting, but the more we own, the more we can do. And so that's helpful. And general repairs and maintenance. This is both facilities actually are old buildings, and they generally require quite a lot of upkeep. Just ask Michelle wherever you are. There he is. The amount of, and there's a lot of work here, and we actually need a new roof on this side. If you come in winter, sometimes you'll get dropped a bit of water on you. But the main thing is that we want to be able to provide so that you can come every week and enjoy our facilities. Who's glad we've got air conditioning? All these things, all these things we've achieved over multiple years. In fact, we've now been going 25 years, and we've had this facility since 2006, pretty much moved in end of 2006, 2007. So there you go. All right. Is that helpful to see where we are and where we want to go? So this is our story, our future. We call it our story, our future, because God did a miracle in the early days with our church. And the short story is we had $30,000 in the bank and said, let's buy this building. It was only 2.2 originally advertised for. We ended up getting it for 1.75 million. And God did an amazing miracle of providing funds. So that's why we call it our story, our future, because it really was seeing as we stepped out, seeing what God did as we took that step of faith, as it were. Now, let me put this into everyday language so that we understand why this is so important, our cards. All right, come with me to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. This is the New King James Version, 1 Chronicles 29, 1. Furthermore, King David said to the assembly, my son Solomon, whom God alone has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. Now, this is the part I really want us to focus on, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. King David had a desire to build a temple for the Lord, specifically so that he could house, this is just a bit of history, the Ark of the Covenant, and therefore maintain the presence of God throughout Israel. However, God said to him that because he was a man of war and had shed blood, it was better that the next generation took charge of building God's house. And so I think just a principle here, some men have been set apart by God to pioneer and establish a work. Other men have been set apart to be peacemakers. Solomon was one of those, and build on what has been established from the generations past. And so we need all these people in our church to make everything work. And so in this amazing story, Solomon became one of the most famous, he was only very young at this stage, most famous men of all time for his overall wisdom. And Solomon had, the Bible says he had brilliant foresight and magnificence in design and structure that was just way beyond what was possible for those times. It is a story, if you read 1 Chronicles, it starts about 1 Chronicles 22 and goes right up past 1 Chronicles 29. It is a story of free will giving. Everyone say free will. That place Christianity on the map forever, because it was through Solomon building the temple for the Lord that paved the way for what we now have. Millions of church structures of all shapes and sizes around our world. It all started through this vision. Now, I've got a picture. I think we've got a picture of what they thought it looked like of Solomon's, not a bad sort of structure for back so many years ago. And interestingly, Stephen and Unami were having a conversation with myself and a few weeks back, and our Wellard pastors, and Stephen's also our executive pastor, and he said to me, "Can you show me where you started as a church?" So I thought, let's have a Fremantle road trip. So we got in my car and we drove around to where we first started at the East Fremantle Tennis Club. And he goes, "I love the view." And I said, "It was great, but no people came." And then I drove around to the East Fremantle Football Club. And we had a bit of a look there. And they go, "How on earth did you do church there? It's so, there's so," and I said, "Exactly. There's just so many rooms. We never knew where we were from one week to the next." And then we drove around, what was next? Corner of Ray and Hampton, where Port Cares and the church started, and which is now Ellen Health, just up the road here. And that was where we really started to get some traction, and we leased that facility. We had a favourable owner. I'm not sure if he's still around. Don Campanella, he's still around. Charlie, always ask Charlie because Charlie knows. And so Don Campanella helped us out. And he even used to watch church online, and so we had favour with establishing our church. And then, as you know, we put it, like I've already said, we were able to come down here and God did some amazing miracles. Now, on top of that, Stephen said, "Show me," and I wish he hadn't really said this, but he says, "Where did you live?" And so we went to all the places that Andrea and I lived. And as I was driving around looking at all the places where Andrea and I started, we started in a place in... Well, it was Hilton, and it was really quite a dilapidated house. We were just young then, and pastors, and I had my own business back in those days. And so it was kind of like the only thing we could afford. But then I saw what God did as we progressed. Now, we had four or five houses since then, and we owned the second house. We just rented the first one in Hilton. It's amazing what God, when I looked at it, and Stephen and Amy said the same, it's amazing what God does as you build God's house. One of the benefits is he seems to look after your house as well. And it's not that you're seeking that. It's not that you're really wanting. It's not like, oh, if I do that, then God's going to. It's not that way. It's just that when we have a heart for God, he builds our stuff too. It's quite remarkable. And so anyway, you can talk to Stephen and Naomi a little bit more about that if you want to. And there was one house that they actually would have liked to, I think, have moved into that we'd built just around the corner here. They really liked that house. And anyway, so when you and I decide, when we make the decision to put God first in our lives, when we place God at the top of all our financial affairs. Who knows, that's a really wise choice. There is a miraculous side to God in our personal lives. A provision which does not make sense naturally. High school fees were paid. I don't know how. Andrew and I were having this discussion the other day. Sometimes with both our kids in private schools, and I at times I just wonder how, because it didn't add up, but God found a way. Mortgage was always paid. There was always great food at our house. Bills were paid on time. So we don't put God first to gain wealth, although that is highly probable. We don't put God first to increase our assets, although that may also occur. And the truth is that we serve God. Who serves God here? Come on, let's mean business this morning. The truth is, we serve God not expecting any return, right? We serve and give to Him simply because we are grateful for what He has done in our lives. And we want to bring glory to His name. Everything else God does for us is a great blessing. A blessing associated with His nature. And so our story, our future, this card is an amazing miracle-making. I can't really describe it. It's about the difference Jesus makes in our lives. And the temple, as 1 Chronicles 29:1 says, as David says, the temple is not for man but for the Lord. Now, I love the way the Message translation, I think I can pop it up for you. This is not just a place for people to meet each other, the second part there, but a house for God to meet us. If I went around this room, I could pretty much every person could say, God met me at that time. We were praying for that and God gave me an answer for that. There is a remarkable thing that happens because we belong to God's house. And the power of relationship through belonging and building His church is one of the most special relationships God has planned for you. And then it says, well, the first part of that verse, 1 Chronicles 29:1, in the New King James says, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly. I think it's the New Living Translation. Anyway, there is always going to be more that God does for us when we put Him first in our lives. Now, Solomon, has mentioned that Solomon was young and really just a boy when he started out. But where did Solomon get such wisdom? Where did he get it? From following his father's instructions, belonging to and building for God. Now, David leads by example. 1 Chronicles 29:3. Moreover, does anyone have an affection, like it says here, for God's house? Because we're living in times where we really need to know who we belong to. And so it says here, moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above, say it with me, over and all that I have prepared for the holy house. That's interesting. I'll get to that. My own special treasure of gold and silver. So David makes this point, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Over and above David's tithe, for the service and ministry of the temple, he even talks about it if you read through the chapters, he was giving to further establish and expand and beautify and build God's house. Who's to say that we couldn't have another facility as the years go on? Who's to say, but it starts because we want to have a devotion like David to building his house. And so buildings play a major role in the recovery of the church. A place people know they can go and worship, as Stephen likes to call them, their access points. And so, will you be like some of the oldest members of this church and stand up in 2021 and believe for more? It was William Carey, good old Baptist. Any old Baptists here? A few. Fantastic. I was Church of Christ, so we were pretty close. So 20th century evangelist who said, expect great things from God and then attempt great things for God. So it was Carey in a Baptist minister's fraternal meeting who strongly objected to the hyper-Calvinist belief of the time. And this is what they said. All men were not responsible to believe in the gospel. To which Carey stood up and made this statement. It is, however, the duty of all Christians to spread the gospel throughout the world. And Carey produced one of the most important books in our church history. It was called An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians. It is, he argued, the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go into all the and preach the gospel to every creature. And Carey showed that if Christians want to claim the comforts and promises of the New Testament, they must also accept the commands and instructions given there. Go into, he finished off with, requires us to take courage. And then I've added, in the power of our relationship with God, and show we mean business with him and see what God does in our lives. And so when you are convinced that Jesus is the hope of the world, is anyone convinced that Jesus is the hope of the world? Your life is built around building his kingdom. It will resemble that. And as such, his facilities are an important part of your future and God's future. And someone had to go into Fremantle and put a stake in the ground. Someone has to build from what we have now for a whole nother season. And that's you and I. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 6, because this whole chapter is really about their giving and their excitement in their giving. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, so David's given and set the way, and then the leaders of the fathers' houses, so the basically we've got all the family members of the housing of each family of giving, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and hundreds, which are the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. And verse 29, verse 9, then the people rejoiced. Who knows that when we give, it should be a rejoice? The people what? They rejoiced. For they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. So, this is quite a remarkable story, and there's other stories like this, but I kind of like this one from the Bible, because there was an incredible generosity in Israel. They were able to pay for the building, that temple that you saw on the screen, and David led the way, and the fathers and princes and mums and dads and everyone gave. The overseers gave gold, those that had it, brass and iron and silver. Everyone gave. And those who had additional wealth, and this is mentioned too, gave precious stones also to help building the temple. So if you like, they're the facts on a human level. There was enormous generosity. Money had come in. There was enough to build the temple. And in this case, there was enough to eliminate all debt. Part of our story, our future, is we would love to be able to eliminate all debt. Amen? That would be fantastic. I'm glad for what we have, and I'm sure you are, and we're managing it well. But, oh, if we didn't have as much debt, it would be awesome as well. And so the question is, how do you account for this in 1 Chronicles 29? How is this possible? Because at one level, David is not afraid at least of saying that the people did the giving. And he stresses that their wills were profoundly involved in the giving. It was a free will offering. 1 Chronicles 29, 9, the people rejoiced for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. So they were not coerced. They made the choice, their own human choice, to bring offerings to God. Now in C3 Fremantle and Wellard, I'm trusting that on the 21st of March, let's say the media rocked up, and even if they saw what we had now, they would kind of be going, how was that possible? Right? So what I'm saying is that If the immediate arrived and gave a report on what happened, this is what I'm believing. On the 21st of March, at both locations, both at Frio and Wellard, that they would say that the cause was perceived by the people as exciting. They would say that Pastor Nigel and Pastor Stephen were charismatic leaders. They would say that the board and the department heads and the Connect Group leaders set an inspiring example. They might even say that, well, interest rates are really low this year, so the people were able to give more, and it was just something that they really wanted to do. We can't really explain it all. And then the media would finish with something like this: if the free will of the people keeps generating this kind of commitment, we will expect to report again in the years ahead of the prosperous future of C3 Frio and Wellard. Amen? And so the media would have come, they would have seen, they would have reported. It would have been good news. It would have been good for the church. But they would have missed everything that ultimately matters. Because what really matters on the 21st of March is not what you see with the eye. What matters is the great invisible reality of God. The power of relationship is the cause for the generous giving. And the writer records for us a prayer of David, which we're going to look at before we finish up this morning, of what really happened. And God reveals himself. And the giving of money for the house of God was the work of God to reveal himself so that we would stand in awe of God. And that is what David sees, and that is what he says. It's invisible. No camera would pick it up. Not then, not now. And David says it's all about God. And in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. What does this mean, to praise the Lord? It means to say true and amazing, wonderful things about him to account for what happens in our world. For what was looking to be disaster, but then God did something marvelous. It's the meaning of the power of relationship, which is at its strongest, where the anointing is the most, is when we're corporately together in his house. Who'd like to see C3 Fremantle go to a whole nother level? This is what we're talking about, and this is what Israel did. They took action and they gave willingly. Let me put it to you another way. If you go to 1 Chronicles 29:11, and I'm going to paraphrase some of the verses. This is what David says: yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Can anyone believe that with me today? And then he goes, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and power. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. And this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one over all things. So that is a summary of what he didn't thank the people. He gave thanks to the Lord. And we give thanks to the Lord. We can't help but be freely giving in order to see the expansion of his kingdom. And so, riches and honor come from you above, Lord. We accept that. We know that. We recognize it. And he is the source. And he says, David says it multiple times, riches come from God. Your work comes from God. Your salary comes from God. Whatever you do, your government in Australia, it comes from God. We are blessed. And we pursue the mission of God by faith, and we give by faith. And this story is a remarkable story of the power and might that are in his hand. As we give obediently to the house of God. David says this in 1 Chronicles 29:17. I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. And sometimes we don't see what God has done in our lives until we have someone from outside our sphere look in at what has been accomplished. That would be true of so many people that love the Lord and have served him throughout their days. It is the unseen realm that makes the difference. It's the power of relationship. And so David was saying, furthermore, stop getting God through me. Instead, I want to bring God's presence into your midst. So David was not simply talking about building a temple through his son Solomon. Rather, the ongoing building of God's house through God's people. Now, there's a really interesting passage of Scripture if you go back one chapter to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7. This wasn't even about Solomon. As much as he was the leader and led the people into building this incredible temple. It says, you will have a son, God told David, and his kingdom will last forever. Oh, my goodness. This wasn't talking about Solomon, this was talking about Christ. And it says it in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 7, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. So what we do in actually facilitating and building the house of God is we are continue to establish God's kingdom on earth forever. Oh, I'm excited about that. Amazing. So let me finish with this. And then I'll ask the musos to come. Some bring it home stuff. Okay, let's have a look at these few PowerPoints I've got. Thanks. Do you desire to give yourself to God unconditionally? You got to look at your money. Secondly, does the power of relationship mean everything to you? Do you say yes to that? Willingly give. Break things over your life that you have not perhaps had a breakthrough in before and see what goes and does opening other areas of your life. Lastly, like David, do you have a desire for the church to reach future generations? All the people gave together, and we are doing that on March 21. Is there anything greater than building God's kingdom? So, Father, today I pray as we take this faith promise card, Lord, that you would speak to us. You would speak to us as family members. You'd speak to us as individuals. You'd speak to us as young adults. You'd speak to us as children. You'd speak to us as husband and wife. And we thank you, Lord, that we are not just playing church, we mean business with you. And Father, I thank you for all you will do in expanding your kingdom through Frio, Wellard, and whatever else you have for us to do. In Port Care, Father, we pray the blessing of God in Jesus' name. The people of God said, Amen.